This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Craig Hoffman.
But I think we win. Oh, I didn't mean to. I preview my pick for tomorrow. But I know where you're going to go.
The Hoffman Show.
I'm not going to give away the pick.
I already gave away mine.
Two wrongs don't make a right, Anthony.
You're right, Craig.
On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It's the Hoffman Show. A show that is being haunted by a rooster here on the Team 980. You're watching on YouTube. Chris Russell's just hanging out in the background, seemingly threatening Anthony Haney with like a dodgeball. Now he's boinking him in the head with it.
Now he's hitting me.
What is this? Chris, we're live on the internet. HR could be watching.
HR.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I got nothing. I will say, Chris, haircut looks excellent. Compliments to your barber. That is a fresh fade, sir. Well done.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. We're gonna do our radio show now. Bye, Chris. Have a lovely day. Chris Russell, everybody. You just heard from him, and apparently you won't hear from him until at least next Tuesday. That's what I heard at the end of his show. Stand again tomorrow. Wow. Yeah. Enjoy a long weekend. And make sure Anthony survives to see it. Okay, today on the show, the Capitals, they are on the brink. How do they flip the script? Tariq El-Bashir has the answers at 5 o'clock. We will also get into a discussion that, frankly, I've been excited to have all week. We've had all the newsy type of stuff. But Asia Wilson, the three-time WNBA MVP, had some really interesting comments on just like, kind of on like us, those of us in sports media that give opinions. And it was on a fun, like comedic show, but I think the conversation is actually fun and I really want to take calls on it. So we'll let you hear what Asia had to say coming up at 4:30 and then get your thoughts on her thoughts and the thoughts on the thinking and the thoughts of the thoughts, coming up. But Anthony, we start, with the schedule, which we now know officially. We had most of it by the end of the show yesterday. In fact, we had all of it. We just were missing a couple of times, but we have the full thing now. As people know, Giants, Packers, Raiders, Falcons, Chargers, Bears, Cowboys, Chiefs, Seahawks, Lions, Dolphins, Broncos, Vikings, Giants, Eagles, Cowboys, Eagles. And there are 8 standalone games. At least, there's a couple other 4 o'clock games. There's 5 primetime games. Like, I think people know about all of this, in general. And the thing that I keep coming back to is the just discombobulated nature of this schedule. 3 of their first 4 weeks, they do play at 1 o'clock. They don't play at 1 o'clock again on a Sunday until week 14 against the Vikings. So week 4 at Atlanta, 1 o'clock. Then it's 4:25. That's actually a 1 o'clock game. It's just in LA. So it's 1 o'clock Pacific, but 4:25 Eastern. Monday night, 4:25 against Dallas, 8:20. That's a Monday nighter, 8:20 against Sunday nighter, 4 o'clock against Detroit, Madrid game, which is a whole different time zone, time situation. Sunday night. And then they actually ironically go back to back, again, They have 1 o'clock at Minnesota, but there's also a chance that game gets flexed for sure. If the Vikings are good and JJ McCarthy's good, that feels like a prime candidate to get flexed, to 2024 draft quarterbacks going head to head with Jaden and JJ. And then the Giants at 1 o'clock week 15. And then we'll see what time that Eagles game is in week 16. And then week 17 is 1 o'clock, but it's Christmas Day. And then the Eagles game is a TBD at the end of the season. And I you know, typically teams don't change around their practice schedules and stuff, for different timings. The only thing that really changes is if you play on a Monday night or a Thursday night, obviously practice changes, but the time of day and all that kind of stuff stays all the same. But just understanding, like, okay, on a game day, like, what are we going to do? They'll have lots of practice at it. They'll have time to experiment. They'll have time to figure things out. They performed very well in primetime last year, so I'd assume that they do a lot of the same stuff. But the thing about a football season is, and Anthony, we feel this, in our jobs, which is not to play, but in to put together the show. When we get into the season, our jobs actually become a lot easier. You know, it feels busy. And so people will be like, oh, are you super busy? It's like, yeah, I have a lot of film to watch. I have things to read. I have stats to look up. I have a lot of things that happen. People are wanting to talk to me, you know, outside of this show and take command. Like, I'm doing other people's podcasts. I'm doing radio hits all across the country. I'm doing TV stuff. So, like, I'm very busy during football season. But honestly, 4 to 7 becomes one of the easiest parts of my day, because on a Monday, we know what it looks like. We know what our Tuesday looks like. We know what our Wednesday, Thursday, Friday generally looks like. It becomes very formulaic. The same is true for the players. But this year, it is going to be very different, because the formula to get to game day is going to look very different. And on Sundays, for sure, it's going to look very different for a lot of these Sunday night games or 425 games. And just that lack of rhythm, I wonder how it affects them in 2025.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are based off, you know, having a set schedule. Like, even us, like, we know during the week, we'll get up. I know sometimes you have your morning classes, and then, like, we'll communicate. Then you may eat, take a break, or, you know, run, and then, like, we'll congregate here. But we have a routine that we're that makes it easier for us on a day-to-day basis. So it is going to be a little weird, but, again, I think a lot of these guys have played, you know, college football. Like, college football, Jaden Daniels, like, they played night games in college. They played, you know, in the 1 p.m. Slot before. So I think it's just going to take some – you know, getting used to, getting accustomed to, because you got teams like the Chiefs. Like, the Chiefs have, I think they're in 7 primetime games on the season, and then, like, 5 of their primetime games are before week 8, which is insane. But they're used to this kind of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Baltimore is used to it. Dallas is used to it. And I actually, Logan said something on Take Command when we talked about this earlier in the week or today or whenever it was. Actually, no, I think he and I were talking about it on the phone last night. Logan and I talk a lot, but we're talking about it. He goes, you know, whether they should be, or actually, you don't know who it was. JP said this too. So maybe it was JP. Maybe it was, like, the point is, I'm not giving credit to anyone. This is an original thought. Dan was in Dallas for 3 years, and whether they should be or not, Dallas is on primetime all the time. They play in the 4 o'clock window all the time. They don't play a lot of 1 PM, or, you know, for them, it's noon because they're in central time. They don't have a lot of noon kicks in Dallas. And so learning how to manage that was something that Dan was very, very used to. But it's also just, it's something new for a lot of these guys. Obviously, for a guy like Bobby Wagner, who's been on good teams his whole career, it's different. He also was on the West Coast. So, like, playing East Coast 1 o'clock when you're an East Coaster, like, that's something that was probably new to Bobby last year, even though he's been around the NFL forever. So it's always the different challenges. It's just, to me, it's not necessarily any individual week. It's the totality of the disjointed nature of the season, of just never feeling like you're in a rhythm of, like, this is what a week feels like. It's like, nope. So it's like Sunday, Thursday, Sunday, 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 Monday, Sunday, Monday, Sunday night, Sunday, Madrid, bye, Sunday night, Sunday. And, like, the reason I say Sunday night versus Sunday is those Sunday night games end so late, it messes up your Monday. Like, you're not really, like, your sleep is the most important thing in terms of recovery, and you're not getting a good night's sleep after the game on Sunday because you're just getting to bed so late. By the time you get done in the locker room, you get out of Ashburn, or God forbid, the Chiefs game, which is a Monday night on the road, which is the worst. Like, those night games, you got to fly back. Like, you might not get home. I remember there was one time when I was covering, or back when I was working in Dallas, and in Dallas, they would fly some of the reporters with the team. Like the Cowboys were great about, you know, you paid like a certain amount. So it's not like they just gave you a ride for free, but like there was a media rate basically for a seat on the plane. And the radio station I worked for down there paid that. And so I, you know, would do like 3 or 4 games a year, the 2 years that I was in Dallas. And I covered a Monday night game, I want to say it was, in Seattle. And we got back at 5, we landed at DFW at 5 a.m. And I was on the team plane. So that means all them dudes also landed at 5 a.m. They had just played a football game. And so, yeah, you slept a little bit, but like you're sleeping a little bit on the plane. You're getting home. You're trying to sleep as long as you can. And it's just a different deal. And so I think that's the thing that, you know, is going to be interesting to just make sure that they're on top of the rest and recovery. Do we see any kind of uptick in injuries, all that kind of stuff? How do they handle their business? But that's the thing about this team and the way it's constructed is they got a bunch of dudes who are pros. Like, I'm actually like, it's a thing, but it's not, I'm not actually that concerned about it. And again, I'd rather be good and have good players and have a good quarterback and have to deal with having good opponents and a funky schedule than be a bad football team, because that's a way bigger problem to try to solve.
Yeah, that was the last thing I was about to add, actually. Because it's funny for us, like, I know you go to sleep, you know, fairly early, but the this fact that we have, you know, some late night games, some primetime games in the evening is going to make, you know, your schedule, your and everything you do a little bit tougher if we're ending, if the games are ending at 11:30.
Nobody 12. Cares about me, Andy.
But I ain't complaining.
I mean, you'd care about me, and I appreciate that. I care about me, but I'm trying not to make this about for me. Oh, fine, I'll do 30 seconds on me. This schedule sucks. For me, this schedule's the pits. 5 primetime games, all these fourth. We're even doing Take Command instant reaction postgame shows at 10 o'clock at night.
Yes,
screw
sir.
That. I don't want any of that. I don't want any of that one bit. Give me the 1 o'clock games all day long. Nope. We got week 2, Thursday night. Hey, it's 1 a.m. Let's do a postgame show. It's okay. I'd rather have this thing and cover a good team, and I'll deal with my problems later.
I
can
too.
Always... Hey, I can sleep in, or I can say, hey, sorry, I can't coach tomorrow. The morning fitness is going to have to be led by someone else. Your boy's going to be up late watching a football game, and some of the people taking the class might too, but it's not their job, and it's my job. So I'm going to be here to serve, yapping about football. All right, when we get back, yesterday, not only the schedule release, just in general, hey, we got information. It's also the Super Bowl for social media teams around the league. We will hit you with some of our favorites of what we saw in the creative space yesterday, next on the Team 980.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Should reporters and commentators actually have to have played the sport that they comment on? That is the question we're essentially asking at 4:30. Right now, though, it was social media Super Bowl yesterday, Anthony. Schedule release day. All of the teams around the NFL put out their schedule release videos. And there was a theme to a lot of them that has kind of been one of the themes of the last couple years. And then there's some teams that were like, hey, I think we're going to try something different. And I got to say, I feel like the teams that did something different, a lot of them hit. A lot of them hit. What were some of your favorites from yesterday?
All right. So my favorite, I think, would have to be the Vikings. Because one, as you just pointed out, it was different. Two, the fact that they got those people to buy in and get tattoos of the opponents that they're facing is insane. Because I don't know if I would have signed up to get a little bangle on my leg or something like that. Like, that's crazy.
That's the crazy thing. It's not like they got Vikings. So if you missed the Vikings video, they got a bunch of fans to get tattoos representing their games. And for some of them, they were kind of like skull with some kind of accent that said like, oh, here's the other team is tipped off. But some it's like, you kind of got a tattoo of the other team. Like, there's kind of, I mean, the Bears, they made look like a soft little teddy bear.
Yeah, that was funny.
But like, and it's like funny. It's great artwork. But like, do we think that they're all real? Do we think that all those tattoos are real?
And unless I'm gullible, I thought they were.
I mean, maybe it's not.
I don't know.
Faking a tattoo, I don't feel like would be that hard.
I mean, but there are some people that really just do get tattoos just to get tattoos.
I mean, yeah, if you're one of those people and you've got a bunch of tats already, and it's just like, hey, what's that one? Fun story. I was a part of the Vikings schedule reveal in 2025. Like, it's a cool story.
There it is. There's only 16, not even 16, like 14, I guess, or 13. They played their division two times.
Yeah.
That math is bad for me, but yeah.
I don't.
They have 17 games, so 14. Yeah. 14.
Yeah. So I'm just going to let you keep going. Sounds right.
Yeah.
Sounds right.
14 opponents.
14 different opponents. So that's 14 games plus three doubles. That would be 17. That math be mathin'.
Yes, sir.
So there's then like kind of the ones that everyone did. The 49ers did like a 16-bit Oregon Trail type deal. The Commanders did Roller Coaster Tycoon. The Colts did Minecraft. So did the Chargers. The Colts just didn't get permission to do Minecraft, so they had to pull their video, which I'm sure is going over great in the Colts building right now.
Yeah, it's bad.
I'm sure the legal department is not happy.
Yeah.
I'm sure the social media department's also not happy. Although I do wonder if there's someone in the social media department that had a job yesterday that doesn't today.
God dang, that sucks.
I mean, if it's your biggest day of the year and you didn't get, hey, we didn't run this by legal. Like, that's not good.
Yeah.
It's not great. The Falcons did like a Mario Kart type deal.
I'm not going to lie. Theirs was one of my least favorite.
I actually didn't even watch it. That's how I know that like it can only be so good is like if you did something like Mario Kart, which should be a pretty sweet idea, and it didn't even cross my feed, then it probably didn't.
So when they did their release, they just did, I guess, their opponents as opposed to like going in order kind of thing. Like they just name drop all their people.
That seems very stupid.
Yeah.
The whole point of a schedule release is to have the schedule.
Yeah.
It's not an opponent release. We knew those the day the season ended.
Yeah, that's what it
gave. We know most of the Commanders' opponents for next year already. Like, what are we doing? Come on, look, the Falcons march to the beat of their own drum.
Yeah.
And
clearly
that we know. The Rams was one that came across my feed a lot. They got actress Brenda Song to do a kind of almost like an SNL weekend update kind of bit, where they had a bunch of one-liners about all their opponents except for the Arizona Cardinals, who they said nice things about because obviously the Cardinals lent their stadium to the Rams after the LA fires last year, towards the end of the regular season and then for the playoff game as well. And there were some good zingers in there. So, and they, like some good bits, some good cameos from Braden Fisk and from Jared Verse. Mm-hmm. The Jared Verse ones were really funny. Like the first one where he's, Jared, your thoughts on Philadelphia, and gives a double thumbs down. And then later, they go back to him for the Seahawks because there's a play from the Rams Vikings game last year where Verse just pancakes, just flops on top of Sam Darnold. And, he just flops on top of the camera, and it's a pretty funny bit.
Yeah. I like theirs a lot. Theirs was also one of my favorites.
Speaking of celebrity appearances, the Buffalo Bills.
Ooh.
The Buffalo Bills. Awesome, awesome bit. They, you know, Brandon Bean, their general manager, gets on the phone. Josh Allen's out in the practice facility, like playing pickup hoops with one hand, just like shooting around with the phone in the other. And he's like, "Hey, Josh, any ideas for the schedule release?" And he goes, "Use AI. That's what everyone else is doing." And then they recruit Allen Iverson to just hold up, like he does like a funny back and forth with Bean, and then just holds up the schedule on a sheet of paper. And that's it. The video, the whole video, let's see, I have it in front of me. The whole video is a minute and 45 long. They get the thing. There's a really funny bit at the end where they, he tries to get a Go Bills out of AI, and he's like, "Go Josh Allen." Can't get a full Go Bills out of him. But it's a very, very funny bit. It's well done.
Now that's funny. I think last year Josh Allen was a part of their schedule release as well. I don't know. Maybe simplicity is a way to go when it comes to, you know, these schedule releases.
I think sometimes it's good to zag when everyone else is zigging. I mean, the Ravens did a 7-minute parody of the show Severance.
Yeah, that's just too long. Also, I have my thoughts on Severance.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, there's that. apparently, the Raiders did a 7-minute parody of This Is SportsCenter stuff with featuring Tom Brady.
That's just too long.
Yeah, it's too much. The Patriots did something with Josh Dobbs and his aerospace engineering degree, with egg drops and like a middle school science experiment. So there's a lot of good ones. I say one of the other ones that I thought was fun, like the Giants had a 10 out of 10 idea. They did like what's it called? Love Island. A new hottie has entered the villa. They did like one of those type of bits. Some of the jokes were kind of lame. Like they didn't do a perfect job executing. But that's like a 10 out of 10 idea, and they did it at a high, like the production value was really high. Mm-hmm. So that was good. But like the thing is, for all these teams that did, and like I thought the Commanders got off some really funny one-liners, kind of, or jokes, like hidden gems in there. The Luvu roller coaster thing was hilarious. The Luvu leap for the Eagles games. Nobody does it like the Chargers, though. Like some of the hidden gems in the Chargers. I mean, the Chargers had Saquon haunting the Giants. They had,
just crazy.
I mean, everybody that played the Chiefs got off a joke about Chiefsaholic.
Yep. So everybody did.
That was there's a lot of good stuff there, and they're like in the like the Chargers is the one that every year though I need an explainer video. I need someone to explain to me all the jokes because their concentration of jokes is so high that I miss them.
Did you see the Colts booth in the Chargers video?
No,
it was the Pat McAfee suite where basically no one was in there because. That's sort of kind of what happened after him and Zaire got into it. Like Pat McAfee and
the Colts were disinvited because Zaire Franklin was like, "Screw those guys."
Pretty much.
Way to go, Z. Team Z forever. All right. When we get back, Asia Wilson was on a show called Subway Takes, which is a very funny YouTube show where a guy named Kareem has famous folks in the New York City subway, and they do like a whole interview. And Asia had a take about the media business that I think is worth discussing. So we're going to do that next here on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. So people have all kinds of takes on the media and what our job is and who is and isn't qualified to say what kind of things. And who are we typically as media to push back? It's like, hey, I'm a guy with an opinion doing my job to give that opinion. And you got an opinion on me? How dare you? So I understand the silliness of sometimes this discussion, but I also think it's actually an important and fascinating one, and I'm very curious to see what people think when they hear what we are about to play for you. Asia Wilson, the three-time WNBA MVP and global superstar, was on a show called Subway Takes, which is a YouTube and digital show that probably has found its way one time or another into your social media feed in clip form. And she was asked by the host but for her take, like her hottest take, because that's kind of the bit of the show. And here's how that discussion went.
So what's your take?
Reporters should be able to play the sport that they're reporting on.
100% agree. I think that it's egregious,
yes,
if that's a word, that somebody could report on something that they've never played before.
Never played before.
It's crazy.
And we can maybe dull it down and be like, not necessarily play the sport, but at least a sport. Like, sweat a little bit.
So if you've played basketball, you could maybe report on baseball.
Yeah, because you've been in that element. You've been in that locker room. You understand the feeling a little bit, and then you just learn it. But to play no sport at all, but yet have everything to say about it, it's kind of crazy.
I agree. I mean, if you're a doctor,
right,
you've probably been operated on.
Right.
You've been a patient.
Yeah, you've been in a hospital.
You've experienced it. Yes. And I think the best doctors have really good bedside manner.
Right.
Because they've been a patient. They've been in the other shoe.
They know it.
Whereas if I'm reporting on the athletics, I think I'm not going to do as good of a job.
You were honest with that. I feel like a lot of them aren't honest and want to believe that.
They're not honest. They're salacious. With the exception of fanatics. If you know the numbers, if you know the players, if you know the lore, the history,
yeah,
the drama. I heard the WNBA has a lot of drama.
We have some tea. The tea. Not drama, but tea.
It's like a grand soap opera.
Maybe a reality show. Maybe like, not Housewives.
That's also
like,
fun.
All right, Andy, I think we got the crux. They then veer off into being funny people, which they are, and that's the point of the show. But we got the crux of it there is that, like, basically, if you haven't played a sport and you don't know what it's like, you shouldn't be reporting on it, with the maybe exception of like, hey, you have a lot of historical whatever. I agree with this more than I feel like I'm supposed to. And I think the reason is, and like, again, for me, the bar of play the sport is very low. It's not you had to play the sport professionally in college or even on your high school team, which I did not do any of. I played recreationally all kinds of sports growing up. I've been a part of teams and I've been in high level athletics, and as a performance coach, I have obviously covered high-level athletics for a long time, but that's not really relevant to any kind of credentials that I would particularly bring to this, because that's the whole point, is like what gets you the ability to do it. But I do think that often when people I guess it also goes to like what some of my biggest critiques of the media are, the sports media in particularly. And to me, the biggest problem in sports media is the disrespect that media folks have for the athletes they cover, not necessarily as people, but as athletes. And this actually often causes friction between me and I think our listeners, Anthony, is because I am willing to be more forgiving of the people that I cover and to say sometimes like that thing they're doing is really hard. And like, I'm not gonna, yeah, it's their job and we can talk about that. We can be honest about the fact that they may have failed, but I am not going to go as hard because I understand the task that they are trying to do because I have played sports and because I've been in those environments. And I think like for me, even though again, I've never stepped on an NFL field, on an NBA court in any kind of competitive setting, I've played pickup basketball with D1 level players and I understand how good they are. I've been in workouts, with NFL guys and understand that like, there was a workout that I was doing once and it was like me and Randall Cobb. And when I did the ladder drill behind Randall, it looked a lot different than when Randall did it. His feet moved a little bit faster than mine, you might say. And so I just think that like to gatekeep the ability to cover sports, I think is wrong. People are not good enough or don't play sports for any variety of reasons. But I do think what Asia and Kareem are getting at is actually, it resonates with me because it highlights the biggest complaint I have with the Stephen A. Smiths of the world who sit high and mighty on a desk in Bristol, Connecticut or in New York and hem and haw about how could this person possibly, it's ridiculous, they're a failure, they're this, with a sheer and utter disrespect for the difficulty of the task and the greatness of the athletes that they are, that they're talking about, and the greatness of the athletes that they're competing against.
I have a little rebuttal.
Okay.
Just because, like, I feel like, so what about the people who, I don't know, aren't physically capable of, you know, going out there and playing?
Well, that's my thing, right? Is like, if there's a reason, or even if there's not, you just weren't interested in playing, but you were interested in covering. As long as you have the respect, like, that's why I ultimately disagree with the take. Because I think, like, if you want to, like, go there, it's ableist in a way that, like, we shouldn't accept. But yeah. I don't think they're trying to be mean in that way, right? Like, mm-hmm. just to be clear on what AJ and Kareem are doing. Like, they're having fun on the subway doing a show. And so, like, I do think that there is there. But I think the reason why Asia as a pro athlete probably feels that way, and my experience covering pro athletes for a decade, is the guys and girls, the men and women who cover sports that do it in a way that doesn't acknowledge, like, the fact that they're covering, if they're covering professional sports, the top 1% of the top 1%, and that the worst player in the league is so much better than the next best person. Like, it's ridiculous, or the average person, that it's hard to comprehend. Like, that to me is where, if you've played the sport, if you understand it and you've been in a locker room, or you've understood, like, even something as simple as, like, Anthony, you've been on NBA basketball courts.
Yep.
Do you think the average person watching on TV that's never stood on an NBA court understands how far away the three-point line is?
No.
Or, like, they see in the NBA dunk contest, someone dunk from the free throw line. Go try to dunk from the free throw line on, I'll give you a one-foot rim. You can get all the way to the ground and fall over, and most of y'all still won't make it because it is 15 feet away. Like, that is a really far jump, and these guys that are 6'7" are out there. Think of the 6'7" guy, you know. He's tall, gangly, uncoordinated. Like, these are the best athletes on the planet. And, like, the utter disrespect, which is why when, like, Brian Scalabrine a couple years ago, when he was at the end of his career with the Celtics, did that thing. It was funny. Actually, our guy DA, Damon Amendolara, was a part of that with the Sports Hub up in Boston. And they just brought in random dudes, including a guy who played, like, was a bench warmer at Syracuse. Like, he was the guy who did the best against Scal. And Scal is like, there's 450 players in the NBA. And at that point, Scal might have been the 407th best. Like, he was end of the bench guy in Boston, never played. He torched dudes. Torched them. And Scal still does this. I think he played pickup in New York City like sometime last year or within the last 2 years. And Scal's like 50 now. And he still just absolutely destroyed dudes because he's a former NBA player, 6'11". And then you have these clown analysts that get out there and, like, talk in a disrespectful way. And I get why Asia would be like, yo, you come try it. And why you land on that place as an athlete.
No, I understand it as well. And again, like, we're looking at it from a, I guess, from where their position, like, if you are in the NBA and you are the 13th man, maybe in a top NBA player's eyes, you might be trash, but, like, we can't necessarily be saying that because guess what?
Right.
They destroy us. We're, like, common people. That's why we're sitting back. We're watching you kind of thing. So I definitely understand, like, where they're coming from. It's just more so just having the wherewithal to, like, have some respect for those people, the top 1% that actually did make it to the NBA, that got a chance and are, you know, that we're watching kind of thing.
Yeah, like, go try to throw I remember we were at James Smith Williams football camp a couple of years ago, and it was me and Logan. We were coaching it. Sam Fortier was there reporting on it, and we were just goofing off beforehand. And we were, like, throwing 5-yard outs from, like, an NFL hash. Mm-hmm. Do you realize how far that throw is? It's like a 30-yard throw.
Yeah.
Or a 25-yard throw. And, like, you have to throw that thing on a rope to not get it pick sixed. Literally none of us were capable. Like, having a respect to say, okay, like, and that's my thing always, right? Is I have no problem being critical of players who don't do their jobs. That is very different than saying, I could have done that. And like, those are the people that I think Asia's talking about. And that I totally agree with. But I think it also opens up a fun secondary conversation, which is kind of like, almost in a weird way, Anthony, self-serving here. Why do you listen? Like, why do you listen to me? Why do you like the people that you like on TV? And because, by the way, I think it can work the other way. Just because you play doesn't mean you'll be a good analyst. I think Kendrick Perkins says crazy stuff all the time. All the time.
Yeah, hot take artist.
Like, he's a hot take artist. I don't think there's certain elements of the game that I'm just like, I don't know that you know what you're talking about. And you can be biased to your own experience as a player. So Kendrick Perkins is going to see the world through Perk's NBA career. And like, ESPN finds that very valuable. Okay, great. I have no interest in listening to it. That's my own personal opinion. So at 301-230-0980, I guess the second part of this conversation is, what is it that you look for, that you enjoy in commentary? After hearing this conversation and what Asia Wilson has to say, I doubt everyone's going to call. If you're listening to this show, like, you're not going to be like, hey, you have to have played pro football to talk about the NFL, because then why are you listening? I didn't play pro football. Unless you're like, I'm waiting for the part of the show where you play the thing you do with Logan. We're not doing that today. You have to wait for tomorrow for that. But what is it that you look for in commentary? And it could be entertainment. It could be information. It could be whatever. 301-230-0980. Your call's next here on The Hoffman Show. But first, a look at what's trending.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Nerds!
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Tarik El-Bashir on the Caps coming up at 5. By the way, correction, Isle Craig. Nats, they won last night, so they busted the 7-game skid. They did, however, lose this afternoon in their getaway day against the Braves. Just looked at the sheet wrong / lost my mind for a moment, so sorry about the incorrect What's Trending update, but we fix it because we own our mistakes because we're professionals, damn it. That's what it means to be a journalist, which is why you listen or something. 301-230-0980. We're just having a conversation about why you listen to whatever commentary you do, whether it be from us, whether what you watch on TV, on the heels of some things Asia Wilson said that we thought were pretty interesting. Paul's in D.C. and wanted to chime in. Paul, thanks for calling. You are on The Hoffman Show.
Yeah, how you doing, man? Hey, you know, as a my coach is Eddie Jordan. He coached the Wizards. I don't necessarily think that you need to actually have played the game at the NBA level, kind of what you was alluded to, but you definitely got to have a knowledge of the game, because everybody that makes it to the league is not always have a high IQ. Like, let's just take basketball, for instance. Are you telling me Kwame Brown had a high basketball IQ? I take somebody like a Lawrence Frank, who came up as an assistant coach but never played a game, or Rick Pitino, for that matter, who might not been athletically gifted, but, you know, guys like him and John Calipari, like Pat Riley, even him, he came off the bench a lot for the Lakers. I mean, he was a better player than most. But most of your great coaches were not great players, right? The ones who were on the bench or coming off the bench worked very, very hard to study the game, to understand the game. I see a lot of these guys out here, and they don't even know what makes up a great play. You know, I tell all of my players that I coach, even at the high school level, that every play should have a back screen, every play should have a cut, every play should have a pad. I learned that by being around the game. We don't play basketball. We're basketball players. In my family, my father played the game. My uncle played the game. I played the game. So when you commenting on the game, as long as you have that institutional knowledge of what the game is and how it's played, I think that that makes more of a difference than, say, just saying that everybody that played the game should be a commentator, because that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah, no, Paul, I think that's a great point, and I think the coaching point is a really good one as well. I appreciate the call, and it actually it reminds me of a conversation I was literally having yesterday. We had a young man that was shadowing our show yesterday. Shout out to our guy Andrew. It was fun having him in studio yesterday. But he was asking me kind of how I came up in this, and Anthony, I don't know if you and I have ever even talked about this, but like, my basketball knowledge, like, I played basketball through high school, you know, recreationally. I didn't have like the world's greatest coaching because I was playing rec ball, but like, you know, you learn some of the fundamentals and whatever. My real basketball education came in my 2 years at Middle Tennessee State, because before I transferred to Syracuse, where I graduated from, I was at Middle Tennessee State. And because I had the opportunity to be at a smaller school, and I was the most active, like, student media member there, I got access that I never would have gotten in a lot of other places. And so I went to practice, like, my sophomore year. I feel like, I mean, I don't know if I'm misremembering. I feel like I was at practice every day, specifically for the women, which was the better of the two teams. The men, like, I was at men's practice quite a bit too. And, like, you know, I was very, you know, grateful forever to Kermit Davis, who's the coach there, and Rick Insel, who's the women's coach, for letting me, you know, be there and observe and learn and, you know, understand. It's just what I thought you were supposed to do as a media member. But I realize now, with the benefit of hindsight, like, the things I learned about the game and also even the intensity, like, I remember those practices. I remember them diving all over the floor, like getting ready to like fight each other because the intensity of the practices. And that's what it took to be at that level. And so it's not that you have to be able to play, because eventually we're all capped by our own skill. And unless your cap is NBA good, there's no amount of work that I could have ever put in to being a basketball player that would have landed me in the NBA. Like, I'm a decently sized human being. I'm 6 feet tall, 190 pounds. Like, I'm cornerback sized. I'm not cornerback fast, cornerback quick, cornerback twitchiness. There is no amount of training I could have done as a child that would have allowed me to run a 4.4. So I wasn't going to play corner in the NFL, and I'm not big enough to play in the NBA. And like, could I have been a better player had I worked harder? Yes, but to what end? I had other interests, and those have worked out just fine for me. Eventually we're talking about like incredibly gifted people who then make the most of their gifts. And if that is the limits of who can actually talk about the game intelligently, like that to me is ridiculous. And so what I think about with what Paul said, and like my own story, I'm biased towards my own experiences, obviously, is like, I learned about it by being around it. I sat back and I just watched and I observed and I asked questions, and I had assistant coaches that would be willing to answer stuff for me. And I bugged the head coach when I felt like I could, but like, I had players that were nice enough to say like, oh yeah, this is what I was looking at here. And like, that learning experience of just asking questions, not necessarily looking for, it's not like I'm asking questions just to go say something on the radio. I'm asking questions to gain knowledge. And the same thing for football. Like, I got really lucky when I moved to DC that the people that I got to work with, Chris Cooley, on 980 in my first season here. You know, I would Sean McVay was incredibly nice to me. Guys like Kevin O'Connell, like I was listening to Mina Kimes' top five coaches episode and or top 10 coaches episode, and I'm like, how many of these guys did I get to cover? Like, some of it is luck and circumstance and who you're around and who you get to learn from. And now I get to work with Logan, who's a freaking football genius. And so I think that's the thing for me is like, again, it goes, I understand why Asia said what she said. And the sentiment to me is more of like, do you respect the craft? Do you have a true understanding of the craft and what it takes to succeed? Or are you someone who sits in a studio, blabs your opinion, which is based off of nothing, just being a fan, and there's really no reason why you should have the show versus the person, you know, who's calling into your show or the person watching your show, unless you are, and this is where someone like Stephen A, you know, separates themselves. And like, even, you know, the Junkies would never be like, oh yeah, we're experts, but like, they're incredibly entertaining. Stephen A is like one of the great entertainers in media. At some point, he started believing his own hype and thinks he's way more important than he actually is. But like, that's a separate thing. But like, from an entertainer, there are a few that do it better. And so like, yes, the entertainment part is a skill. But like, for me, I'm always looking at like, who's the smart guy in the room? And, you know, that's going to come with a certain level of institutional knowledge, whether that's gained by study or by participation. And I think both are paths that you can take. Thanks, Paul, for the call. Appreciate it. That was a good one and a fun discussion. If you have any more comments, thoughts on this, you can leave a comment on our YouTube page, at Craig Hoffman, at the Team 980, or in our YouTube chat here live during the show. When we get back, though, Tariq El-Bashir talking Caps, and then speaking of comments, never read the comments, coming up at 5:30.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.